are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
He must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
And now the Gladiators hopple, aren't he, with the left forearm. It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head clash there.
Oh, very nasty.
Slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the burst.
He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd's starting to go wild.
Intercepted.
Shows it. Goes outside. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try.
Yes, it's a try. It's a sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestros, Stephen Ferris and Chris Gayle, as they fire up.
Who is Rex Mossop calling us idiots?
Well,
Chris, every bloody week we have to put up with that nonsense.
Yeah, well, it's part of the burden we carry, Stephen, as two of the idiots that happen to follow Australian
sport. I'm going to unshackle us this week. We've got some great topics, Chris. We're talking about Badger, Gus, Benji, and Toxic Swamps.
That's a show
right
there.
Does it get any bigger than that in rugby league? And I want to say it does get bigger, Chris. Did you know just this morning two things launched? There was a NASA launch courtesy of Boeing.
Oh, the Boeing Starliner.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll talk about that. And also Vogue magazine's Met Gala Ball, all to do with rugby league this week. An amazing confluence of events have happened.
I think I can talk about the Starliner, but I'm in your hands on the Met Gala because I'm not a fashionista like you are, Stephen.
We all thought that done and dusted Las Vegas, you know, that the Volandis and Abdov have done a great thing. They've set us up for the future, but really the repercussions still travel. It's like throwing that pebble in the pond and it's reverberating across America. So all the way from Vegas to New York City, Anna Wintour, who, of course, heads the Met Gala Ball. Apparently you get invited and then you got to respond by saying, yes, I'll contribute $75,000 for that ticket, please. Not a bad deal, eh?
That's what you call a loaded invitation.
Yeah, loaded. So the invitation's not enough on its own. And she has this event where they have some co-chairs. Jennifer Lopez, I think, has done it a number of times. But for the first time, not just the first Aussie, because we've had Cate Blanchett and others, I think Hugh Jackman before, but Chris Hemsworth.
I thought you were going to say Rex Mossop.
And you get, well, as soon as you go fashion, you go Chris Hemsworth, right?
Straight away, right?
And apparently you're disappointed, you know, wearing a white suit and black shoes. It's nothing to do with the theme. Now, the theme, Chris, get this, the Garden of Time. Now, first of all, you scratch your head, don't you? The Garden of Time. Is it what's it alluding to? Is it biblical? Is it Shakespearean? Is it some sort of fine poet from the mid-1800s? I mean, what is the Garden of Time?
Well, you've got the Garden of Eden.
Yes, great.
That's in the Bible.
Great,
the Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
Yes.
Right? They're
big.
They're terrific. You've got the Japanese garden down at Darling Harbour.
Yes, and in Kyoto.
Yes. But the Garden of Time sounds like some naff science fiction novel to me.
It does.
An episode of Doctor Who, perhaps.
Or philosophical.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
Absolutely right. But let's face it, rugby league, Garden, time. You measure it, 80 minutes, and you've got metres, correct?
Yes.
That's strict measurement stuff.
Right, so
The red carpet was green this year.
Ah, there you go.
So when I looked closely this morning, I noticed that they've actually got markers on the green carpet. 30 metres, 25 metres, 50 metres, et cetera, et cetera. All there, all marked out, Chris.
Yeah,
I think Chris has had a hand in that, don't you think?
Do you miss the days where it was just the halfway and the quarter lines, or you prefer the NFL style?
The brown zone you were talking about?
Well, out at McDonald Jones Stadium, where I wasn't last weekend, as the Warriors surprised Knights supplies the hapless Warriors. Down one end,
yes,
the grass had just died.
Right, okay.
So typically they talk about the red zone, which again, this is the concern, Stephen. Mm. A lot of people, and Roy and HG have been at the vanguard of this, about is the NRL doing the right thing by going to Vegas? Because it seems like we've got a talent drain going now to the United States to play NFL.
Yes.
We are adopting these concepts like 10-metre grids, and now the red zone, which is in the 20-metre zone,
Chris,
except it was brown.
let's face it,
on a green pitch.
We know they're not always nature, are they? Often they're artificial.
But in the NFL?
At rugby league.
Are you saying that we're actually playing on some synthetic fields?
I am indeed saying that you've been fooled and hoodwinked, Chris.
Is that right?
Though we are if it was green and nature, we are at the vagaries and under the influence of nature itself. So look, we have bushfires, we have droughts, you know, so grass is going to go brown.
How would we know whether the modern rugby league ground is genuine turf or artificial? Because we're not allowed to run on and get the corner post anymore, are we?
It's a very good question,
Chris. They're like sacred, dare I say, gardens of time.
Yes.
Which we now, as the members of the general public, are not able to repose in.
Right. Well, dare I say that also Chris Hemsworth is a Bulldogs fan.
Is he?
Yes, he has. Now, to make this link even better, I think that something about the Met Gala and the constituents of that event, they're very, very fast forward thinkers.
Yes.
They move quickly.
Progressive.
Much like the Bulldogs. Now, I'm thinking about the influence of the Bulldogs and this small ball style.
Right.
What is that? Explain that.
Okay, in basketball, Stephen, which I know is not,
it's not your
natural province, is the game has been said as having a sort of a bias towards big people. I've never understood that.
Oh. Right. So you've got to reach up.
That it's easy to put the ball in the basket if you're taller.
It's certainly 6 or 7, 8. Yeah.
Never really applied to me. But one of the ways to counter that is that the cliche, and this is a terrible cliche on which I suffer under and many others, which we might discuss later, is the big guys are a bit slow. Right?
Yeah.
So what you do is you get smaller, quicker units who are able to shift the ball and move the chess pieces around the court.
It's not too dissimilar to what the Walker brothers do then.
In Ipswich, right?
Yeah. So make the ball move.
And you've already mentioned that we're going to mention Gus, but Gus has been greatly criticised for recruiting a lot of what we would refer as utility players, right?
Right, okay.
We're talking
Would you say Chris Hemsworth is utility to fashion?
he's utilitarian.
18, yeah.
And so a number of these Canterbury players, Stephen, if I said the names of like Blake Taff, Kurt Mann.
No idea. Curran,
you don't recognise them, right?
No idea.
Right? They're all just these cookie cutter small guys. And what they do is they go out and unleash by Seraldo, and let's probably explore how they ended up this way, but they've got all this energy and they just swarm onto the field.
Science fiction, Chris.
Yeah, it's Plague of the Locust type stuff. Locust.
So they move fast in a bunch.
Right, and it's a blur.
What's coming on? They're coming at me.
Right, and normally...
And this is as defence players, not attack players, or both?
Well, rugby league is still that you play... offense and defense, Stephen, hasn't got that far down the NFL. But no, what happens is, now look, we saw Broncos versus Roosters. I mean, no one watched that. I just read the media reports, right?
Right.
But apparently they had a plan for Reece Walsh because you can identify and recognize Reece. You know, he's a good-looking kid, blah, blah, blah.
Pink shoes.
Exactly, right? The trouble is you cannot devise a plan for the Canterbury team.
Don't know who they are.
Because they all look the same. Yeah. And they can't recognise what's going on.
Have they been made in a factory somewhere, Chris? Melbourne style?
Are they
from a pod?
What is the connection between Cameron Seraldo all the way back to Craig Bellamy? I'm not really sure.
Well, they do call it now the House of Torture, don't they?
Well, this is, you know, and we don't want to make light of the legal proceedings, Stephen, as they stack up.
Legal proceedings, schmeetings.
in relation to what goes on in Belmore. Yeah. But we know that Des Hasler used to call those early press conferences because he didn't want the press to hear the screams coming from the training sheds.
Yeah, you remember down at Belmore Station, there were rivers of blood coming down? Yeah. Remember that?
And there are matters that will make their way through the court, Stephen, and we don't want to make light of them. But put it this way, it is known around the traps as the torture chamber.
Right. Chris, you've seen The Devil Wears Prada?
Yes, I have.
Based upon the life of Anna Wintour, played by some famous actress.
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep, that's right. And torture.
Well...
Torture, Chris.
Yeah.
In fashion too.
Because let's face it, Stephen, our game is not for everyone.
It's not.
Right. So you're in a unique working environment where you have to be pushed... Not beyond, but to your limits.
Yeah.
And if people are thinking that we are making this up, that there's a connection between the Met Gala and what's happening in Canterbury Bankstown, think again. Because in the absolute spotlight of the paparazzi is the great Kim Kardashian.
Right.
Who's emerged.
Yeah, and what was she looking like?
Well, she's emerged in a gown which has had more detail on it than most would normally expect for any sort of function.
Yes.
But she has a cinched waist, Stephen.
Now we're talking Marquis de Sade country,
right,
aren't we?
Right, so...
And like ladies of the, 1700s, right?
Well, exactly. I don't know if you're...
They took three women to get them into a dress, right?
And I don't know if you're a fan of Ed Woodard, but have you seen Plan 9 from Outer Space with the woman Vampira?
Yes.
Tiny waist, right?
Isn't that the woman in Mad Max Furiosa?
That's Anna Wintour Joy. What is her name? Anna Wintour. Anya Wintour, whatever it is. Anya Joy Taylor, I think I'm right in saying.
Ah, yes.
But the Kardashian's waist is so small.
She can't breathe.
Right. And this is what happens if you're late for training at Canterbury.
That,
go,
you're
right,
going to get in that
outfit. You're going to get in that outfit.
How does she go to the bathroom?
Well,
don't ask.
Listen, if you talked about the Boeing Starliner, Stephen. Yeah, I mean, that's the question that, you know, the two questions that astronauts get asked the most.
Yep.
And kudos to Catherine Bunnell, local Australian, who's just been announced as Australia's first local astronaut,
wow,
having grown up here.
Yeah. And what team does she support?
She's from the Northern Beaches, so I'm assuming Canberra. The two things they get asked most about is how do you go to the toilet in space and how do you have sex in space?
Yes.
Well, I'm just assuming Kim Kardashian is properly equipped in that Met Gala dress. She can do it all and not a stitch gets removed.
So you think Anna's been dropping down to Belmore? Giving a bit of advice, house of torture, how to succeed,
Anna,
and how to be mobile, intelligent.
Yes, units. Anna Wintour, Gus Gould, Cameron Sorello. I think it's a given. And Chris Hemsworth.
And Robert Fripp.
Now,
did Robert Fripp play on another Green World?
Robert Fripp did play on another Green World.
So the green carpet, Chris.
Yes. Well, the green analogy.
The Garden of Time.
The Garden. And look, people go this. I watch Gardening Australia with Costa Georgiadis, and I don't see any rugby in there, right? Right. Well, think again. Think of the wonderful horticultural contribution rugby league has experienced. We think of the nature strip, which Freddie Fittler left himself.
The drunkest human being alive.
Outside of the league. Now, I still get some delight driving down Moore Park Road and going past the Moreton Bay Fig outside.
Nice place to sleep, Chris.
By the way, here's the funniest thing I'm going to say on this show, Stephen, past Rugby Australia headquarters.
Yeah, they're still there. Now, Chris, are they going to open the gates to the other teams? I'm going to keep asking that every single week. Why aren't South Sydney playing there to start with?
Oh, look, can you get off the high horse? Because you're trying to get the Dargans in that way.
I know, trees. Yeah. Okay, right.
Curtis Scott, of course, just minding his own business after Australia Day till the cops came and got him.
Yeah.
Right? So there's that.
Surely that's as Australian as anything.
I would have thought.
See beyond a Moreton Bay Fig.
But there's a new agricultural phenomenon, Stephen, that has surpassed all these previous precedents. Kenty's tree.
Right. So being hurled into a tree, breaking five ribs, right? That's Kenty's latest shtick, right? And what sort of tree was it, Chris? Some big thumping bloody oak?
That's a really good question. I'm not sure I can. It's just become. It was on Google Maps for a while. It's become known as Kenty's Tree.
It's got a plaque now, has it?
It was listed as a historical landmark.
And men are now coming out of the pub. What, the three?
They got a 4.8.
Three roses, the three thistles, the three thorns.
Three weeds.
So
it's opposite the three weeds and toddies.
And they throw themselves at the tree in recognition.
In homage.
To Kenty, you're right.
And it only has a 4.8 out of 5-star rating. And I'm assuming because Kenny marked it down. But you had a quote from
And I'm assuming Kenny. That he managed to hold the beer in the glass whilst being thrown at the tree, correct? That's the trick.
But had taken the watch off.
Talking of great Australians, you see if you recognise this quote. This is Kenty in full flight. It's all fine. I'm just getting on with it, getting on with life, going through what has got to be done. I'm disappointed, but such is life, mate. Things happen. You get up and you go again. Simple as that. And he went on about the injuries and said, well, such is life. Who cares? It's done. Can't change it now. All the best. Such is life. Who said that famously when he was about to be guillotined or hung? I think it was hung, wasn't it?
The great bushranger.
That's right.
An Australian iconic
Ned
figure.
Ned Kenty. All right.
Such is life.
Great to see his philosophical right till the end anyway. So, yeah, that'll get him through some troubles, no doubt about that.
I know that both protagonists have been charged with the fray. Do they still hang you for that? Or
I'd love that. I mean, you know, recently having done some work, you and us and others at the National Art School, where they used to hang people because it was a jail and people would come from miles around to watch the hanging. So wouldn't you? Like, you know,
well, look,
French Revolution style?
On balance, I'm against capital punishment, Stephen.
On balance.
But a show trial of Kenty in the National Art School Cell Block Theatre with perhaps sold out providing the music.
Yes.
Now, there's
something.
I mean, that'd rate. Well, you that'd draw.
The other thing they used to do, of course, with the town square was they put you in one of those things called your head and your arms go through
The stocks.
Stocks, yeah. And then bucket of fruit or vegetables, tomatoes. Right. Kenty. What fun. What do you reckon? And then throw him against a tree.
It's Vonnie here. If you're looking for rubbish on the face, you've found it on FireUp.
Right. Listen, just one little thing caught my eye this weekend. I was watching Penrith play.
Yes, I went out.
You were there.
Me, Redfern Pat.
Redfern Pat.
And 8,153 others, apparently.
Are we going to talk about this soon?
Well, we can talk about it now, I think.
Okay. I did notice there was this glowing blue object moving very quickly through the ground. I thought, what's that blue? Oh, it's a head. Oh, it's Dylan Edwards' head. He's got the 5 o'clock shadow on his head, and it's so 5 o'clock shadow head because he's so pale, it looks blue. It's freaky. And I bet his woman... girlfriend, partner, whoever, has said you're sleeping in the tent until you grow that hair back because it used to be so nice.
Listen, Dylan Edwards.
Yes, he's great.
First of all, that's an AI-generated rugby league name, right?
Yes.
Right. And secondly, he's the most vanilla-looking cat the whole National Rugby League.
He's gone under the radar for so long now. Teddy Tedesco always gets the job.
Right. He now leads the Dally M voting purely because of the shaved head, right? Yes. It's got him noticed.
The blue head.
And at the absolute nadir for the Rabbits, and I'll briefly talk about the Rabbits in a moment, is when there was the 20-minute restart and the South guys are trotting back and Dylan made the quick restart, shot it out to Terrell May, who scored.
Boom.
In the background on the head-on shot, you can see Brian Toto patting Dylan
on the head,
on that, because the shaved head, a la the beard with Sam Walker, has changed his career, Stephen.
Yes, yes.
And if he's not the Origin fullback, then he's not fullback.
Right. It's a glowing head, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah, well, it's luminescent.
Luminescent. OPSM, look out. There's a coupling.
Can I tell you about what it was like out there, Stephen?
Now, how many people were there?
8,155.
How many does it hold?
1,155.
Right, and where did the atmosphere go?
It died. It went to the moon with the Boeing Starliner. More atmosphere on the moon than there was out at Acorn.
And surely we all know Russell made a mistake, right? Surely he could be mad enough to admit that he made a mistake and just undo that deal and go back to where it belongs.
Coach Reynolds.
Yeah. That as well.
Well, first of all, there were less people there than there was...
at Cronulla Sutherland.
Well, that's something. But the next day, which was the celebration of Reggie the Rabbit, Charlie Calico's 80th birthday, more people turned up to that.
Oh, nice.
It was Cookie's 200th.
Yeah.
Right?
And he got to play, did he?
He got to play. He ended up at fullback because of the injuries. And
right.
I described him running through the tunnel was like the Long March.
Yes. What was the music playing, Chris? Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun. No. Well, it wasn't.
The funeral march would be great, wouldn't it?
There was a bit of Ramones. But prior to that, it had been advertised that Troy Cassidaly was going to be performing.
Magic.
Including Glory Glory to South Sydney.
Yeah.
That's all he performed.
Right,
Glory
including,
Glory.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it is not lyrically complex.
No.
And he's going, let's do this one for Cookie.
Remind me, what's the original tune? Because they always came back from like stupid British barroom songs.
That's it. You got it. They ran on to Highway to Hell in the second half, which seemed very, very apposite.
You were actually complimenting the DJ, the field DJ.
I keep getting texts. Anytime someone's at a live sporting event and there's music, they text me and go, is that Ferris?
Do they really think I'm that bad? Do they really?
And I'm going, I'm watching a game in Fiji here. The man can't be everywhere, right?
Look, we went to Anzac Day and, man, you could barely notice whatever the person was playing.
Hopeless.
God love you, but you were hopeless. You
the
know?
Allianz DJ for the Roosters, endless, mindless, not good quality hip hop.
I'm sure that was a St. George rep.
Yeah.
It was their home ground. Right, either which way.
But
I prefer him over the Rooster guy, but generally speaking.
But the South guy, not too bad.
Not too
bad. Good variation, keeps a bit of interest.
Yeah.
But the thing that really stood out, apart from poor old Redfern Pat bemoaning Brad Schneider filling the boots of Nathan Cleary very admirably, was this is South's lowest ebb. It was Dimitri O'Day.
Yeah.
It's their lowest ebb.
Yeah.
8,000 is 10% of the 80,000 who marched low those many years ago.
10%. Where are they now?
Where were they?
I
had a look around. Russell Crowe?
Not there.
James Packer?
Yeah.
Mike Cannon-Brooks,
no.
You got to be kidding me.
Andrew Denton?
No.
No.
Dalai Lama?
Yeah.
Oprah?
Yeah. Ray?
Ray Martin wasn't there.
Ray Martin wasn't there.
Tom Cruise. And look,
Mikey Robbins, was he there, surely?
Well, I didn't see him.
Ah, he could have been there.
And at the very least, you would have thought at the lowest point in South Sydney's proud history, and Graham Arnold apparently said that when rugby league does well, South's is going well. Well, rugby league's booming and South's are last.
Yes. Well, hey.
And Joey John says South Sydney is everybody's favourite, second favourite team. Hello, we know that's the Tigers.
Yes.
At their lowest point, where was our national leader going, excuse me,
yes,
I am the Prime Minister, yeah, yeah, let me get on the PA and try and rally the troops. Albo, well, I'm pointing a finger at you.
Yeah, and we know the history of celebs coming on board, though temporarily, Snoop Dogg, etc.
It's just so ephemeral. It's so transitionary, Stephen.
So maybe if Albo turns back up again at the next game with Anna Wintour, then we'll be back in business.
Rugby League will be safe.
Fire up.
But Demetrio Day.
Yeah.
Departure Day.
Same. They still sacked you after all you've done, even though you gave them a plan. They let you go.
But they said that your style didn't suit their team. Bye-bye, JD, JD, goodbye. Sorry, you said you don't suit their style. I guess by now coaches should know better than to coach off the super coach bed. Seems to succeed. I hope one day you return a winner and get a premiership ring on your finger. JD, that would be so sweet, but bye. Bye bye, JD, JD, goodbye. Bye bye, JD, come back sometime.
Sends at the end there, Benji. You got pretty scrappy there with Alex and Clem.
Yeah, it's simple. You got to have discipline. You know, we're 8 points down, we're still a chance in the game. And to lose two players and play off 11 for the last 7-8 minutes, it's, that's not us.
Oh, he ripped out a few there, didn't he? Now, don't tell me, Benji's a coach now, isn't he?
He is a coach, Stephen, and it's been a...
He's ticking boxes.
It's been a terrible week on and off the field for the West Tigers.
Chris, again.
And in the course of 1 week, Benji, who is morphing into a coach, has gone from we didn't get the rub of the green to the Ricky Stewart card of it's not us out
I can't there. And I can't go that bloody because I'll get fined a buggery. You know, that's what, you know. We'll pull this apart. What I didn't realise was that, and Benji's now discovered this, and we shouldn't know this, but there is a gathering for coaches once a month that happens somewhere sort of Dural, but north of Parramatta, way up in the Hills district.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct.
And I believe it's an old warehouse. That you can still see the sign Hillsong.
Well, Hillsong's scaled down, Stephen. Their congregation, has become more selective.
Of course. And let's face it, not all are going to be available every month. It's a little bit like those private men's club, Skull and Crossbones or whatever they're called, in America.
Illuminati.
Whoever's available in town.
The Republican Party.
And you're welcome. And, of course, you get looked after. You know, your well-being is so nurtured.
So, Stephen, we've talked a little bit on this show about Bradley Charles Stubbs.
Oh, it's in heavenly
world. And his tagline is, who's coaching the coaches?
Exactly.
Like, who watches the watchman, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So the coaches, no one thinks about them, no one looks after them, so they've had to self-regulate, self-administer, and they now look after themselves.
Sorry, do the refs have such a place?
Yeah.
Because they really need it.
They got some shack out the back of Acor Stadium. I think a disused garden shed from the Olympics.
You mentioned how cold it would be in winter. Okay. So back to HQ for coaches, yes. Right? So I imagine they've got a coffee machine.
Instant coffee. Yeah. Okay. They've got a couple of old video games because they've got to keep the eye-hand coordination.
Air hockey, foosball
table. Yeah, okay. And then, of course, the angry coaches would be angry that it's not a rugby league table because foosball's based on football or soccer.
And once again, I know that people that don't follow this code who listen to this show go, well, how do I know it's a coach and not a player when I see them on television? Well, first of all, they're very taciturn.
Okay, so obviously, as a self-regulated body, it's headed by the greatest coach of all.
Wayne Bennett,
right? Yeah, of course, yeah. So you are put through a program and a training regimen that makes you more like Wayne. So Wayne, now 74, looked that age when he was 30, right? Of course, yeah. So, and let's face it, he's
or
not...
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, everyone tells you how funny the man is, but he's not effervescent publicly.
No.
So you first of all learn to be, as you said, taciturn. What other words might describe...
Well, you could go cranky.
Gruff. Misanthropic.
Yes. And sort of...
Glass half empty.
You know, definitely testosterone driven.
Yes, it's very male.
Very male.
Passive aggressive.
Yeah, passive. And then you've got to learn, this is what Benji's learning now, the cliches.
Yeah.
You go to once a month, they go, sorry for the week, Benji, but you didn't get all the cliches in the press conference. We've told you, at least four.
You didn't apologise to the fans.
No, that's right.
yes, not us. It's a nice start, but it's not very expansive.
They've got issues from childhood. And carrying a burden. Ricky Stewart, hello.
Yeah, he said, I didn't see it. Here's a classic one. I didn't see it coming. We trained the house down during the week.
And we will get to the big one in a minute. There's also, he got issues with cats. You might not like your dog or your cat, and you can kick your dog or cat because you're so frustrated and angry at what's happening on the field.
I think you find that most rugby league coaches didn't have pets as children. They were denied. And then they get partners who try and introduce pets into the mix, and it doesn't end well.
Well, can I just say, Chris, the first rule of psychology is if you are mean and you torture your cat or your dog, you're going to turn into a psychopath, right? You're going to kill people. That's the indicator, the first indicator. Watch out. They got craggy skin.
Well, this is the thing.
Right.
I don't know whether they pump something into the atmosphere in this thing. Yes. But Craig, you go prematurely grey or bald.
Or bald, yes.
Like my partner Mary Jane walked past the television during Benji's press conference and goes, who the hell is that?
Who is that? He doesn't sound like Benji. And his voice hasn't been damaged yet, but it will get
it gets rough.
While, yes.
And like weather beaten.
Benji was sort of light and fun.
Well, he played with his rudder vive, Stephen, the flick passes, the no lookers. Yeah. There's none of that. He's looking down the barrel going, that's not us.
And you've got to learn to say certain words, of course. Obviously, resilience.
Well, you death ride the word resilience. Yeah. You have had a great week.
Yeah.
If you can say resilience, because you know why? It means you actually won.
And finally, it's not us.
It's not us.
I mean, he learned that one from the master, hasn't he? It's not us out there. Maybe next week it might be us. How do I recognise the difference? How do I recognise Benji Marshall anymore? I don't. And I'm very, very unhappy about that, Chris.
Yeah. No, it may not be us, but it's not Benji.
The depletion of personality in front of our very eyes in real time.
It's
the garden of time, Chris, the garden of time.
There is a 24/7 wellness hotline.
Yeah.
And they send the small mobile intelligent wellness unit. It'll look after the coaches.
Does it come with Robert Fripp and his Frippatronics?
That's right. In fact, I think we can hear some of that in the background right now, which adds a sort of a mystique to the coach's environment.
Right, that's right.
And the other thing they have, Stephen, they have a permanent outplacement consultant there, right, ready for the inevitability. Because as I say, they're either coaches who are coaching, have been fired from being coaching, or a Wayne Bennett.
That's an interesting question. Does JD get invited now that he's not a coach now?
That is part of the conditions. Yep. If you go into this secret society, you get a 12-month outplacement consultancy.
Right.
And this is, if you look at Bomber Morris now functioning with the Tigers, that's only as a result. Nothing the NRL did, nothing the Cronulla Sharks did, totally about what the coaches HQ did.
We're going to have to get a plant, Chris, to find out what really goes on.
Well, there are no plants in that environment, Stephen. No. They just die. They'd wither.
Chatham rules, right?
Chatham House rules.
Yeah, Chatham House
rules. Yeah, we'd love to be able to penetrate this inner sanctum and find out what they really think, but all we get was... it wasn't us out there and we were resilient.
Well, I'll tell you what was you, Chris. The Canterbury Bankstown Tea, the House of Torture.
Small ball.
And a small ball and a whole bunch of mobile, intelligent, unknown, unfaceless
faces
running quickly at will, at random. And like, what's going on? Now, that surely is right up the area of Benji Marshall.
You would have thought.
Would have thought.
But he can't make plans for people. They always say, Stephen, you can't be what you can't see.
Right.
Well, you can't see who these Bulldogs are.
No, no,
so you can't make a plan.
No.
And we went down in the screaming heat.
And
how
does the ref know what to call them? Mobile unit number one. Mobile unit number two with a bald head. Mobile unit number three with your Tripotronics playing that bloody tune over again.
Captain, I need to speak to your utility player. And seven people walk towards the referee.
Yes. Now, there were some very unsavoury scenes, Chris. I did see a photo of a towering Clemenator. What's his full name?
David Clemmer.
David Clemmer, part two?
Well, he's reinvented himself a couple of times. Bulldog into Knight, into Tiger.
Towering over Mrs. Badger.
Yes, now that was...
Towering over Mrs. Badger.
If you actually watch the footage...
Shaking his fist, Chris.
It's the parallax error, right? He was several metres from Casey when he was remonstrating. But it was a bad look, Stephen.
It was a bad look.
And John Bateman continually, dare I say, badgered the whole time. And the online trolls have just covered themselves in glory, as they always do.
Now, Mrs. Badger, of course, she knows enough about social media to pull the pin. She gets the off button. She's got a big red off button, and she does it straight after for 48 hours.
I do this 48 hours before we do this show.
Do you?
And then I keep it off for another 72.
Just in case.
Just to give me a bit of buffer.
Right, okay.
So, like, and she's a referee learning her craft, and this is only a third first-grade
game.
You
did say she, Chris.
Yes.
And does gender play anything in this whole debacle that's happened where she looked like she's been threatened by players left, right and centre?
Well, the NRL said that wasn't what Clemmer was saying,
right.
And it should play no role in it, Stephen. We should all be assessed in our roles based on our designated positions.
Yes. Right. Okay. I do worry for her.
But it was still a bad look. She'll be fine.
Okay.
We hope to see her out refereeing St. George Illawarra very soon.
Now, can I say that though he's not so anonymous and unknown, a little bloke called Reed Marnie,
mm-hmm.
otherwise known as the Chihuahua, mm-hmm. was he involved in some sort of fracas?
Do you remember the old days of rugby league, Stephen? Mm-hmm. Like, I think I'm talking the 2010 grand final. Well,
that old.
Yeah, didn't you win that one?
We did indeed, Chris. And you know it very well.
Was it against the Sydney Roosters?
It definitely was.
Yeah, and I have a vague recollection that in the preliminary final, Luke Ricketson was sent off.
Yeah.
And disqualified from the grand final, therefore crueling the chances of the Sydney Roosters.
They never deserved to be there in the first place.
Because he was third man in.
That's right.
And that was
lower than a pest or a grub or a cat.
That was the worst thing.
Third man in.
Worse than a parasite.
Coward, yeah.
Worse than a doghead.
Yeah.
Right.
Doghead.
Maybe not as bad as a chihuahua.
What about a grub? A chihuahua. Hate chihuahuas.
And that was in the era where you could throw him, right? You can't throw him now. Now it's just melee's push and shove.
Have we got that Republican... You know, officer running for...
Christy Gnome.
You're coming with a shotgun. Look out, Chihuahua.
Oh, my God. Christy Gnome apparently has gone CBS News last night trying to defend her position, right?
Indefensible.
And, you know, 14-month-old puppy.
Yes.
And then you also heard she slaughtered a goat on the same day.
Of course.
For being smelly and rancid.
Yeah.
And as all the talk show hosts they look at the camera and go... It's a goat.
It's a goat. No, of course it's smelly. And what about a pig? Got to shoot them, you know.
So
she's good, isn't she?
Oh, she's,
has she got a calendar?
She's great.
We should get one.
And people say her chances of being VP under Trump have finished. I don't think so.
No, but, she's just prime candidate.
She's soaring.
Prime.
But now in this melee-infused era in which we are, the Chihuahua comes in and
the
stirs...
He's
surpassed Ennis.
Surpassed Ennis.
He's evolved from Ennis.
Okay.
He's like an Uber pest. He's a chihuahua.
As he had his genes merged with some other creature, you know.
Spliced.
Yeah.
Like Minotaur style.
So what did he do? He came in and mouthed off, I bet.
Yeah, and there was an incident involving Alex Safar from the Tigers trying to put
hit
on someone towards the end of the game.
Yeah.
And the brouhaha has ensued. And Seyfarth has leaned forcibly with his head, Stephen. This is not lending weight. That happened somewhere else during the week.
It's a current phrase, is that leaning in. You've got to lean in, Chris.
Yeah.
They hear that every day at those meetings.
So in the push and shove, he's led with his head. He's been put to the bin along with Clemmer and fined for the use of the head. But Marnie is unrepentant, Stephen.
And untouched by the ref.
Yeah, first of all, he's saying he's loving the Sorrello torture chamber. He says, I can't get enough of it. It's making me a better player and get this.
Yeah.
A better person.
Oh, I don't believe it.
But this is what he said in relation to the Seyfarth incident. I think people get big man syndrome because they don't like little people talking up to them. Maybe that's their fault, not mine.
What's his middle name? Napoleon?
Alfie.
Alfie.
Shulman.
Or just Chihuahua.
Slippery Morris.
Yeah, don't put your finger near him, right?
Now, Stephen, I mean, this is a
look, I'm a little man, right?
And I'm a big man.
You're a big man, right?
Right.
We've had this discussion over and over again.
And, I mean, there's been, like, doctoral theses done about little man syndrome.
Benefits,
but
negatives.
Let me tell you what it's like to be a big man, Stephen.
Oh, please, go.
First of all.
Where do you shop?
I have to buy my shoes at a shop in Hornsby.
And it's not called Tom's or Roy's. Yeah, right.
And they are so embarrassed about their trade that you actually have to go round the back
corner,
like, of another Hillsong disused warehouse and knock on the door and speak
and move the
code.
Homeless man out of the way.
That's right. And then the password is something like Wilt Chamberlain or something like that. And then you go. So shoes, don't even talk to me about trying to buy a suit, Steve.
No.
It's absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
The
wasn't that a fashionable thing though, big man sizes?
Yeah. Can I tell you, Stephen?
Yeah.
You know, is there a happier place in Australia than the theme parks at the Gold Coast?
No, I don't think so. I think that is the happiest place. And don't tell me big men discriminated against.
Warner Brothers Movie World.
Yes.
The Superman Returns ride. The most exciting roller coaster in the Southern Hemisphere.
Right.
I'm sorry, sir. You're too tall to go on this ride. You must be under 192 centimetres.
Yeah.
So not only is everyone else having the ride of their lives.
And they're looking at you.
All the other patrons are going, bit scared of the roller coaster, are we, mate?
Look at
the
big
chicken. All that sort of deal. Right. The constant reprimand that I receive from people at gigs. Hey, mate, why don't you get up the back?
Yeah. You're covering up for two people.
Yeah. Like,
can't see.
I see.
Down in front.
I can't see. And I go, step 10 centimetres to the side, you should be good.
So you're expecting a whole sway, like the whiteboard of the cricket, a whole sway of emptiness behind you, are you?
just a suitable space. Because I never push past anyone, Stephen.
No,
I only go as far as they allow me.
And you like to be early. Yeah. I know that.
And let me tell you, to all you people out there who A, think you're clever, and B, are not sensitive, what's the weather like up there, mate?
Come on now. And tell me, we haven't even started on airplanes.
No, I am unable to, at times, put food on my table because when I fly, Stephen, I'm forced to fly business class. That's how bad it is.
And you get the row where you've got to jump out and let everybody out, don't
it's
you?
It's just, it's, I look, Alex, I'm with you.
I mentioned Questlove had that. He said, imagine being a very large black man with an afro getting into a lift in Park Avenue with a little tiny wasp lady.
Mm-hmm.
The fear that comes into their eyes.
From Questlove, from the lady, because they've got all the power. Because I'll ruin
the power
you.
Here, love.
Don't tell me about the history of hip-hop. I'll show you hip-hop.
And she did. She just browbeated him. You know?
She pulled out a little rolling drum machine. Keeps better
she
time
said,
than
I
you
know,
do, Questlove.
Cool Herc. He comes to my Christmas party every year. You know, like, who do you think you are?
Sylvia Robinson? She's my best friend.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you got?
What do you got? You've got to be like an apologist, don't you, for your size?
Constantly, Stephen. I mean, Stephen, can I just quote, and she's got a huge starring role in an upcoming film.
Yeah.
Just like Lady Gaga, I was born this way.
Yes, right. And Clemenator, we feel from violins, strings, tears, right?
Big men.
Big
occasionally
men.
They do cry.
Yeah.
I went wandering way down this road that did not end when I fell in this well of sin. Then I hollered to the big man on high. I said, big man, hold of me. I said, big man, get a hold of me. I said, big man, get a hold of me. Well, and he reached down and got me from his will of sin. I said, big man, get a hold of me. I was wandering alone when I slipped and fell. Yes, I fell in this well of sin. Yeah, then I hollered to the big man on high. I said, the big man, get a hold of me. Yeah. Get a hold of me. I said, a big man, get a hold of me. Well, then he reached down and got me
And now it's time for the latest instalment of The Life and Times of Gus Gould.
That's why we've got this ridiculous short line dropout rule.
100%.
This ridiculous short line dropout rule. I mean, our game is so stupid. You can lose the ball over the line scoring a try, right, and you get penalised 20 metres and 7 tackles. It cost the Canberra try yesterday. You lose the ball over the line, it costs you 20 metres and 7 tackles. Why? I don't know, because it's stupid. But I can just take a line drop, and if it goes out on the full, doesn't go 10 metres, no consequence, nothing at all. What sort of stupid game is this? Who sits and makes up these rules? Obstructors, and no, he didn't have his eyes on the ball, and he bumped into him, and he ran behind him. Obstruction. Well, Happy chorus, our try. What the hell was that?
It cost Brisbane the grand final last year. They're not being able to execute dropouts, costing the grand final.
We are so stupid with our rules. We are so stupid with our rules. Give me that. Give me that. Give me that. Tell me. Did I score that or not?
Our game is stupid.
Chris, I would suggest that Gus, not a great listener.
No, he's a talker.
not a great listener. And I would also suggest that at the coach's HQ, trying to pretend that Gus has had nothing to do with any of the impacts on rugby league over the last sort of 40 years is a bit disingenuous.
Mm-hmm.
And surely Cameron Seraldo goes to the coach's gathering and instant coffee and, you know, hello, Wayne, thanks for having me. I need to voice like this a bit. And then he comes back and reports everything to Gus.
It all goes back to Gus.
Says, now go back and say that.
Are you saying that Gus is wearing too many hats in this game?
The question, of course, I think it was Andrew Webster brought up, conflict of interest, because most people in the media have got some other, you know, role, job, et cetera, in rugby league.
If anyone saw Braithen Astor interviewing South CEO Blake Slolly last week, you wouldn't notice the conflict of interest going on there.
Dream of it. No. Who else are we talking about here, Chris?
Pretty much everyone in the game, Stephen. But, you know, people sort of were lionising Keith Barnes for being head of the football club and the leagues club. That could be a conflict. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, just because I own Wynn Corporation doesn't mean I've got any say in it, right? Right?
Not technically.
No.
The interesting thing about that, and I mean, it's rare that we play audio 2 weeks in a row, Stephen, but we're probably going to play that every episode this year.
The stupid bit.
Yeah. The person who's really stupid in that is Gal, right?
He was not listened to, though, was
he? Because he was trying to get in, right? And Gus is saying the change in the dropout, so it's not a penalty if it doesn't go 10 metres, is stupid. And then Gal chimes in with, cost the Broncos the grand final last year when the rule was the old rule.
Yes.
So who's really stupid? Who's really stupid?
And so what is Gus proposing, though, when Appy drops the ball over try?
What do you mean drops? There was, on 1/25 of a second frame, possibly one, the last of his fingers was momentarily separated.
Yep.
And then he was in direct contact with the
Let's
ball.
Let's assume that he did.
And they're saying he can't re-grip. What a ridiculous concept that is.
I'm with you. In real time, it's a try. But what if it wasn't? What should be the repercussions?
Well, the repercussions are, and look, there's no bigger fan of NRL CEO Andrew Abdo than you and me, Stephen.
That's exactly right.
And Abdo had this to say. We welcome, and I'm not going to do the accent.
No, all right? No, no. The South Africans are killers.
Because that'd be stupid. We welcome constructive criticism and passionate opinions, but registered officials cannot overstep the mark and make comments that are considered detrimental to the game.
Registered officials, that's right,
Destructive attacks on the game itself will not be tolerated. They fined him $20,000, $10,000. In reserve.
Yeah, so he's a selling man for the game as well, isn't Gus? Gus knows that. You know, what does Gus do? Remember those famous walks on the field before the State of Origin? How much
Churchillian addresses?
Churchillian. Dry smoke coming underneath him.
He's a carny bus, Gus. Yeah. He's bums on seats, Stephen. Yeah.
So
this is theatre.
So,
though Brendan Cowell says he's never seen a rugby league player at the theatre.
No. And as we all know, that bad publicity is great publicity for rugby league.
Yes.
So Gus is just selling the game.
Yeah, just selling the game. Even though South's at the bottom, the game's never been doing better.
Or could it be called a cynical disruptor.
Well, that's what Abdo wants to say.
Yeah.
But look, Stephen, Gus has retained legal counsel.
Yeah.
He's
going for it.
Yeah, he's absolutely fighting this one.
Yeah.
The name of the firm.
Does he need us to come and say, yes, the game is stupid?
Well,
I'll back up.
You just submit as evidence all our tapes.
Yeah.
Speak endlessly.
For how many years now? 20 years, nearly.
That's right. 20 years.
We got away with it.
He's retained the firm of Madison Marcus Law Firm. I'd love them to come on the show.
Yes.
But if I was running the case, Stephen, this would be my first submission. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you former Australian representative player Jamal Idris. Jamal, what was your famous public quote on radio in the game. He goes, stupid game played by idiots. Yeah. Now, there was no...
Well, that's defamation, Chris Shaw.
There was no bounce back on that. There was no repercussion. In fact, people lionized Jamal for calling the game truth. For what it is.
Yeah.
We all love the game,
but
he encapsulated it. And Gus is pointing out the bleeding obvious, Stephen.
My friend.
Stephen Ferris
and Chris Gale need to fire up here tonight.
Now, Chris,
yes.
There is a place for this. Do you know that?
Tell me.
It's called the Australian Freedom Conference.
Uh-huh.
Clive Palmer has invited Tucker Carlson out from Fox News or ex-Fox News to talk about the bullshit in the world and rugby league primarily as a vehicle for people to spin bullshit.
I'm excited by this, Stephen, because it's at the ICC Sydney Theatre. It's just in my backyard. I can walk there.
Nick Cave one week, Clive Palmer the next.
And the funny thing is Colin Greenwood is also performing at the Freedom Conference as well as with Nick Cave.
All right.
And so let me tell you about the conference, the Australian Freedom Conference. The name sells itself.
Yes. And I guarantee you there's an Australian flag somewhere waving around with Union Jack in full support.
Because who's against freedom?
No, we love freedom.
Maybe coaches. They don't like freedom.
No.
And it's US media giant Tucker Carlson and Australian business Clive Palmer.
Is he a giant though?
Big man syndrome.
Yeah.
And they're joined by...
Well, Putin, hello.
American filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza, whose work I'm not familiar with, but I will be after this show.
Yeah.
Queensland general practitioner Dr. Melissa McCann.
Lovely.
And the event covers a range of topics including the following.
Yeah.
Current and future threats to truth.
Yes.
Democracy and personal freedoms.
You got to have the Greeks in there.
And rugby league.
Right.
So threats to truth, democracy, personal freedoms and rugby league in a world becoming unrecognisable.
Subtitle, The Garden of Time.
The Garden of Time. and Craig Kelly will be involved in
this. Craig Kelly's got to be grouchy and shitty.
Because he looks like a bulldog.
Yes, he does.
And I see a panel moderated by Clive Palmer with D'Souza and McCann, Tucker Carlson, Craig Kelly and Gus Gould.
Yeah. I mean, how could you go wrong, Chris?
They'll have to do 3 days.
Tickets are flying out the door of the NLP party. Flying out the door.
What an incredible afternoon that'll be.
Oh, evening.
And no doubt coming in on satellite from the United States of America, old dog shooter herself, Christy Noem. And she goes, show me where Abdo is.
Well, that's where that might upset
I'll take
John,
you to the gravel
John
pit.
Howard will be, then that will upset him after all, Port Arthur, et cetera, Chris. So don't even bring that up.
Boy. I saw some stuff as I was channel surfing on Sky News, Stephen, last night. Yeah. I don't want to bring it up.
Now, Chris, I refuse to talk about another loss with the Dragons. I refuse to go there, but I will go somewhere.
Did you drown your sorrows? Because they pretty much drowned down at the Toxic Swamp.
As if I was going to go down to Cronulla and watch a game. As if. Can I remind you, Chris, that 11 premierships in a row was thwarted primarily by the code bringing in Cronulla Southern 1967, changing the four tackle or the unlimited tackle rule into some sort of limited tackle role and pinching half our players and taking them down to that toxic swamp known as Cronulla Sutherland.
Can I say, you don't need to remind me.
Can I say it again?
Because you're constantly talking about it.
Even Brendan Cowell won't listen to me.
No. Well, he's always got his head in the future.
That's right. Now, Chris, I would bring you back to a cultural reference, one of the great highlights in cinema, Neighbours. Now, not the show. Neighbours was a film in 1981 that starred the great Kathy Moriarty, John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd of two warring neighbours fighting over the girl and a toxic swamp that used to consume anything that walked into it and eat it up. Now, who would go? Seriously, Cronulla, who's running the show down there? That's what I want to know. How come they can build what looks like from the drone a beautiful mini city, beautiful, you know, 20-storey buildings, and in this place that can only hold, 9,800 at best?
Well, for a team that was flying high on the top of the table, I think there were less people there than there were out at Acor Stadium for the hapless Rabbits.
Because they're all at Bunnings.
Right. And the other thing is, I've been to the demilitarised zone in Korea, Stephen, where, by the way, we were under explicit instructions.
We're talking Tom Ugly's Bridge here.
When we got to the border and we were told when we got out of the bus, we had to stay together and as a bunch.
Right.
Because if you separated from the herd, you'd be an easier target for the snipers.
Yeah.
And an American woman turned to me and said, they'll shoot you first because you're so tall.
There it goes again.
Big man syndrome.
But right? They said, are you Cronulla or are you St. George?
Now, and if we were to believe the United Nations representative, whose name was Special Lieutenant Jeff Frolick, the buildings that we saw on the North Korean border were actually just empty facades.
Yeah.
I sense the series of failed developments down at Shark Park, Ronson, Remondis, Endeavour, Caltex, Toyota, wherever you want to go, points bet.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything in those buildings. I think it's just their edifices.
Yeah.
And they
had
are
they been declared unsafe, Chris?
Yes. And yes. they are a monument to the problem human that error. Is the toxic swamp. Yeah.
Well, it just like Venice, it just comes up and seeps
it's
in.
It's gone.
And it's not healthy. It's not fit for human beings. So which people, I know there's some clowns with two heads down in Cronulla, right? But some of them don't, and they're serious, sensible people, and they don't want to go there, so thus you're never going to get more than 9,800.
That's right. People. The people yeah. that go, old-timers, Stephen, and they were there when there used to be power lines yeah. on the hill, right? And the electromagnetic energy, yeah. which now they just put the cables under the hill, still infuses you. Those people are, rusted on fans, literally.
Yeah.
And they do go in small numbers. Yeah. Having said that, they have to get inoculated every time they arrive at the gates to the swamp.
They've only got 9,800 hazmat suits, yeah. which you've got to put on before you go in there. Yeah.
That's the insurance requirement.
And there's
right?
always a queue at the toilet. There's always a queue at the food and beverage place.
And look, there's no bigger fan of hypodermics than me, Stephen.
No, I know.
I mean, having to get inoculated
every
game.
Time.
Yeah. No wonder no one's going. Imagine if they were losing.
God, wow, it's a winning place, isn't it? Let's make a journey one day, shall we? So
I think it's a special event.
Yeah.
To me, it's what I guess. Is it aversion therapy or for you to go to Cronulla, or is it more like where they sort of put the rubber thing in and it's like the electroshock or something and it gets you to face your demons, Stephen?
Jeez, I can't even...
Have you ever been there?
No, never been there.
You've never been there? No, no. Oh, that's a given.
And is there a little corner where ScoMo's crying and you can go over and pat him on the back and say, sorry, mate, you can't join the coaches mob at HQ. You're on your own.
I haven't read ScoMo's book, and I'm not sure anyone has.
Isn't it written by an American evangelist?
Is that right?
I think it is. I think actually written by one of them.
Right. But I love how he says, I parked my faith during my prime ministership, yet he talks about it. But the title of the book is about being a prime minister in his faith. So it's hard to fathom. It does leave a vacancy, Stephen. If it's not Cowell, if it's not Morrison, who is the Sharks' number one supporter?
And is he not on the Freedom Conference? Surely. Why is ScoMo not invited?
Because Clive Palmer said, Scott Morrison, too liberal for our liking. Too left-wing.
Too left-wing for us.
Too left-wing for the Freedom Conference.
Righto. And one final note, Chris, we did mention some wonderful inventions. And NASA this morning, they've got nothing to do with the theme at Met Gala.
Mm-hmm.
But happened at the same time. So it's a victory for freedom in America, I suppose, much like Tucker Carlson coming here.
It's almost like art versus science.
Exactly. They launched a brand new spaceship.
Starliner.
A Starliner, exactly. And guess who's on it?
Boeing,
yes.
Which automatically raises issues.
Yes, indeed it does.
But who?
That doesn't faze Robbo.
Robbo.
King Robbo himself from Paddington. He wants to try it out. He wants to go to new frontiers. He's done. What's he done? He's done
Kilimanjaro.
Kilimanjaro, yeah.
Everest Base Camp.
Everest Base Camp.
Where he gives tomorrow's the game day speech.
Kosciuszko.
Yeah. Well, that was in the lean years,
right? Okay.
When they got the wooden spoon. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the idea of trying to inspire a group of players, where he goes, fellas, tomorrow's game day, and they're getting on a rocket to the moon.
Yeah, Starliner.
Yeah.
All the comforts involved. Because, he got the generals on Anzac Day,
yeah.
So now it's Space Day, right?
That's
out of his mind.
Right.
Teddy's very excited, yeah. And sad little Sam Walker kitty, I hope they knock him over and hurt him on the way.
What a doco. If you can make it the doco of Robbo strapped into those things that spin round and round and round with the G-forces, that'd be something else.
Yeah. Because you'd be too big for that, Chris.
Exactly. Absolutely correct.
Correct.
I am too big to be an astronaut.
Starliner.
I grew up wanting to go to the moon on the Starliner where I could report. There is more atmosphere here than there was at Acorn Stadium.
Beep, beep, beep. Stop right there, Mr. Gale. I'm afraid you exceed the limits.
You don't fit into our tin can.
No. Come on through, Robbo.
Would you like a coffee, Mr. Robinson? Yes, just put it on the rooster's tab.
Please somebody remove this bloke, Merivale got great security, Chris.
I still prefer the Billy's pies to the Merivale pies.
Exactly, yeah. On that note, thanks for having us. Fire up.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting round of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab. Fire!